Is the grass really greener on the other side? Or as my grandma would say, are they just using better fertilizer? Have you ever switched jobs only to find out it wasn't what you really expected? Or did you finally discover a truly great situation? In today's episode, we're going to unpack, undress, unfold about the opportunities of when a PM switches jobs. Now, one thing about this family that you must understand is about switching jobs is that it sometimes can be rewarding and sometimes it could be depressing. It's, I know what you're thinking. ED, you're already making me feel depressed right now by just saying it could be depressing. I get it. But we're going to jump into today's content and let me see if I could guide you in the proper way. This episode right here is one of those episodes you need to listen all the way through. I mean, you need to stop doing what you're doing. Okay, let's just get into it. Point number one, assess the why behind the move. You know, a lot of times people switch job opportunities and don't have a why. Well, why are you leaving? Well, just, you know, I'm bored here. You're bored? What, are you not getting enough work? Or then you take them through the five whys. Five whys are basically asking why, you know, five times until you can get to the root of the reason why you want to make the switch. Let me give you, if you don't mind, let me share a story. The only reason why I know this works is because I've lived it. I had to live it. I had to go through it, but I don't want you to go through it. I was frustrated. I was frustrated at the place of employment where I was working at. And so I started, like anyone else, applying for job opportunities. I got this opportunity and I went for the interview. And I'm going to cover that in today's episode as well, what some of the tactics that I learned in this particular situation. So I'm meeting with the hiring manager. First I met with his direct report, went extremely well, met with the hiring manager. And this is where things turned left. In my opinion, an interview, number one, assesses your skill set. Number two, assesses your personality, because I believe any job is coachable and trainable, except for like a surgeon. But you know what I mean by that. But I'm talking from a project management standpoint. If you have the soft skills, I could teach you the job. And so we went through this interview. This was the very first time in my life that I, at that point, I was like, man, I wonder if my grandma was right about is the grass. Are they just using better fertilizer on their grass? Because it was like, I knew I was going to step into a bad situation. And I was already in a bad situation. So I said, you know what? At the end of the interview, and again, I've never done this, say, hey, you know what? This probably is not going to be a good fit for either one of us. And the reason why I told the hiring manager that, because he was the last stop. I was the last person to, I think it was another candidate and I, but I realized that just how we were interacting on the interview, that told me a lot about what I could expect. And I said, is my why, because I'm frustrated, is it big enough to walk into another frustrating opportunity? So I had to do a deeper dive on my why. And when I did a deeper dive on my why, I found out the reason why I was frustrated is because of promotional opportunity. I found out the reason why I was frustrated because I was watching other people that I trained, I coached, or I work with, were getting opportunities that wasn't afforded to me at that time. So I said, that is my frustration. I said, this is an easy fix. Either one, I stay where I'm at, or two, now I know the reason why I'm moving on. And I tell you that story, family, and I'll move on to the additional points, is because I really, truly need you to understand your why. I know it sounds corny. I know it sounds like, oh, here you go talking about the why, but no, it's impactful. Because if you don't understand the why, you'll walk out of one situation that's already negative and frustrating and bad into a whole nother negative and frustrating bad situation. So I want to help you and guide you so you don't do that. Here's my actionable tips. Write down your key reasons for leaving and match them against what the new role offers. I wish somebody would have shared that with me. I had to go through that bad experience, which I am super grateful for because you guys get the benefit of it. Like I said, my goal here is to be so transparent that those that are looking into get into this thing that I love, that I hope you fall in love with called project management, knows more than somebody that's a seasoned project manager. So you can go in there and run circles around them. I want the best version of you. Okay, I'll get off my soapbox. Point number two on the actionable tips, ensure it solves the problem that prompted the switch. I could stay here for days and do a whole seminar on this, but seriously, family, when you are switching opportunities, when I mean PM roles, going from one organization as a PM to another, you need to understand, does this solve the problem that I'm up against? Or am I just putting myself back in the same situation where when you go to a new organization, first of all, you're going to have to earn everyone's respect all over again because no one knows what you can do. Yeah, I know it looked good on resume, but can you do what it says on your resume? Can you actually execute like that? And sometimes people will realize that, oh, resume is good, but the actionable or the executable things are not. All right, let's move on. Point number two, evaluate the organization's PM maturity. Hey, listen, you know what? I'm not holding back. I'm going all the way in. One of the things that you must understand is how mature is a PM organization? Because if you do not take the time to address and assess this, you will walk into a situation thinking, oh, they're using charters. They're following everything by the PMBOK. And then you get in there, and I've shared it with you, family, where you're not using Microsoft Project or Smartsheets or Asana or any of those software tools. You may just be leveraging an Excel document. And you need to understand that, is this something that I want to leverage when I'm leading a project team? So organizations with mature project management practices will allow you to thrive. Assesses how organized their project management processes are and whether they have a well-mature PMO. One thing I do like when a organization is not mature in PM and project management, it gives me an opportunity to put my blueprint or to put my fingerprint on the organization by saying, hey, this is how I would recommend that we do this. So it's a good and bad, but there will, if you were working in a PM role that was very mature and then you go to one that is not mature, I'm telling you, you're going to have the patience. You're going to have to endure some frustrations because they may look at you as an admin when you are actually a leader. Here are my actionable tips. During the interview, family, ask about the company's PMO, their project management tools, and how they measure project success to gauge, so you can gauge PM maturity. Point number three, message. Family, anytime that I say message, this is one of those points that you want to lock in and tune in. One of the things that I had to learn on my journey is my worth. So this is going to turn into a personal development opportunity. And I love personal development, if you can't tell, but I had to learn my worth. And when you're switching roles, sometimes, not all the times, you may fall into a category where you start creating imposter syndrome for yourself or start self-sabotaging yourself, or you undervalue yourself. So when it comes time to negotiation for compensation packages, you are looking at where you're currently at, not where you're currently going. I really like that. Let me tell you why I like that, family, because when you're looking where you're going versus where you're currently at, the price is different. Okay, you don't like that. Let me give it from a poet that I listen to. His name is Joey Cartagena, I think. That's his government, but we call him Fat Joe. And he said, yesterday's price is not today's price. What was he trying to tell us, family? What he was saying is that, yes, because this will happen to you, family, when you are going for an opportunity, they'll ask you, well, how much are you making? But that's the wrong question to ask me, because I want to know how much the job is paying. Because if a job is paying, then we're just using basic math, let's make it easy. If the job is paying $50,000 and I'm currently making $40,000, they may try to just bring you in at 45 or 42. Instead of saying, how much is the contract for? And also, what I'm going to give you my actionable tips is research the salary and benchmarks for the new role. Go do your homework so at least you know how much you can negotiate for. So if the role is paying 50 and you're currently at 40 and you know this role is 50 or more, then you should be asking for 50 or more. And prepare to negotiate salary, benefits, and additional perks like professional development. It's not all about, you know, when I say it's not all about, of course it's about the salary. We want to make sure we're getting paid. But there's also things that they can do to offset that, meaning, hey, well, okay, well, you can't pay me again. Let's use the number 50,000. Fine. Can I do fully remote? Will you pay for my health membership? Will you pay for all these different benefits that you can negotiate? And a lot of times, especially my project managers, we don't know this going into it. It took for me to go through different interviews and different opportunities throughout my career to say, wait a minute. It was actually a recruiter that educated me. They were like, hey, you know, you could negotiate for healthcare memberships, or you can negotiate for money to go get your PMP. And I was like, no, I didn't. So again, I share that with you, family. This is one of those numbers. Point number three, negotiate for what you work. I found this really amazing. If you're looking at this quote, and I'll read it for those who are listening through the podcast. You've got to believe that you're worth it. I'll say that again. You've got to believe that you're worth it. It all starts there. You can hesitate and be doubtful. You can even worry that you won't get what you want. But in your heart of hearts, you have to fully claim that you're worthy and amazing. The world reflects back to you how much you value yourself. And I hope I don't destroy the name. It looks like Daniela Aporta, but check that out. Amazing. Amazing, amazing, amazing quote. I love that so much. Let's move on to point number four. Ensure a supportive onboarding process. You're like, why is this important? I'm making a career switch. Why would I? Listen, a well-structured onboarding process sets the tone for the success of your role. I've been in organizations where I started and it was probably a week before I got my new laptop or desktop or my badge, and I was using a visitor badge. So all of these, to me, again, in my humble opinion, it just kind of lets me know what I'm going to be up against as far as leading projects. Because if the onboarding process is not fruitful or valuable, I know I have an uphill battle. Am I willing to accept that? Well, it depends on what my why is, going back to the very first item that we talked about. Here's my actionable tips. Inquire about the onboarding timeline, the resources provided, and whether there's a mentorship or buddy system in place to help you integrate smoothly. Let me park your parenthetically for me and tell you the importance of getting a buddy system or asking for a buddy system or mentorship. The reason why you want to be able to do this is because what it'll do is it'll allow you to understand the organization faster. Basically, what that means is the buddy or mentor that you're working with internally will be able to give you shortcuts to say, hey, look out for these stakeholders. If you're working with this, I see you got that project. Let me tell you what you may be up against. Not saying it's going to happen, but I want to forewarn you. I call the buddy system or internal mentor a warning system. Oh, I like that. The reason why I like that is because when it's a warning system, basically what it's letting you know is, hey, this could happen. And it could not happen, but I want you to be aware. I want you to be on guard just in case of it do, so you're not surprised. Point number five, evaluate the tools and technology used. A great project manager role comes with modern tools that make project tracking and reporting efficient. I've always shared with you, family, there's been organizations I've worked in where they didn't have a robust tools and technology. And I was good with that. I was fine with that because you can give me a piece of paper and I can lead a multi-million dollar project. And I'm not trying to impress you. I'm just trying to impress upon you the fact of if you need those tools, that needs to be part of your negotiation as mentally of saying, hey, if they don't have a robust tools, whether it's tracking Microsoft Project or Smartsheets or Asana or Monday.com, any of those, then this is probably not going to be a role. So these are questions you need to have with yourself. Point number six, understand how success is measured. You want to understand KPIs, key performance indicators. Knowing how success is measured will help you understand whether the role is a good fit. Some companies have unrealistic key performance indicators that can create stress. Yes, I'm trying to think how I want to say this because I truly understand working in organizations where there was a very stringent key performance indicator. And what ended up happening is when I seen it was at the strongest, meaning that anytime somebody's project got flipped to yellow or red, it was like, it turned into more of a party. I'll say that politically. Okay, skip the politics. If you don't understand the KPIs, how are you being measured? And you walk into a situation and you're handed a project and it's the number one project in the organization. And the expectation is you are supposed to deliver on time, on budget, within scope, as well as quality, which I just described was a triple constraints. You will be stressed out and ask yourself, why did I leave this other PM role to go into this new PM role? And again, for those of my exceptional people out there that if you're paying attention, if you've been listening to the content, I consider you exceptional because if you take time out your day to become a better individual with regards to project management and leading more effectively and efficiently, I respect that. So here's my actionable tips. During interviews, inquire about the metrics used to evaluate project managers and whether they are attainable. Point number 7. Assess the leadership style. Your success often depends on the leadership style in the new organization. Look for leaders who are supportive rather than micromanagers. Okay, here's a story. So I got hired in this organization and the leadership style, something during the interview again told me, man, this person sounds like a micromanager. I was like, okay, again, what I always tell you guys to do, not to do it because I did it, is I'm fighting off that intuition. So anyway, I end up taking an opportunity and it starts off really, really well. I mean, probably I was really amazed. I was like, see, I was just overthinking this, being analytical and all of these things. However, as I got more projects because I was doing well with one of the projects, so they gave me more, I started seeing the micromanagement come out. I was getting daily emails of saying, hey, these are the 5 things I need to know about and where you're at. And, you know, the manager started attending meetings and they normally didn't. But the micromanagement came from was because they weren't aware, even though I was updating them and there was a document on our share drive, but they just didn't get it. And so my why for getting out of that situation was I don't do micromanagement well. I never perform well when I'm being micromanagement. And I knew that about myself because I pushed forward in other situations and it just turned very disastrous. So this is why I had left that organization because I was being micromanaged. Why do I share that story with you is because you have to be able to observe, actionable tip, observe your future manager's style during the interview. Ask them about their management approach and difficult project scenarios and make sure they're descriptive as well, family. Say, you know, could you give me a situation where during a difficult project, how did you assist your project manager? Or ask them, do you micromanage? What is your management style? There are so many questions that you can ask to figure out if someone was a micromanager. Very easy, because it's all about their support style. Point number 8. Ensure career advancement opportunities. Listen, family, a better job isn't about fixing immediate problem. It should also offer opportunities for future growth. If you do not see future growth within the organization, then what are you there for? What are you doing this for? You could stay where you're currently at. Actionable tip, investigate the company's track record of promoting internally and inquire about their career development programs. Here's my 4 transformational remarks, family. Point number 1, which is major. Assess the why behind the move. Again, assess the why behind the move. I know you're frustrated. Understand that frustration. So when you leave, you know why you're leaving. You're not leaving because you don't like that they don't offer coffee no more. Or no, find out there's a genuine reason why you're leaving. Maybe you're getting micromanagement. Maybe the team dynamics. Maybe it's a toxic environment. Whatever that why is, make the leap, make the jump. Number 2, negotiate for what you're worth. Family, stop undervaluing yourself. You're valuable. If you're listening to this, you're definitely valuable because you're taking time out your day to become a better project manager. Even if you're not a project manager yet, you want to become a project manager. That speaks volumes that you're getting ahead. And number three, assess the leadership style. It's important to understand who you're going to be reporting to. What are their leadership styles? For me, I don't do micromanagement well. I understand in the beginning when I take on a new role that there's going to be a slight hand of micromanagement because I don't know the organization. But as I get up to speed, I'm expecting you to step away all the way. Just step away because I got this from here. So my thing is, family, is assess the leadership style. If you like being micromanagement, then great. Then it doesn't matter to you. But if you don't, then you need to ensure that you can address that. Ensure career advancement opportunities. Like I said, family, just don't jump into another opportunity and not have a pathway of career opportunity and growth. Well, family, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. It's very important that you understand that if you're going to make the jump, I don't want to prevent you from not making the jump. I've made jumps multiple times. And some of them was because of of certain frustration. And some of it was because someone reached out with an amazing opportunity. And I was like, yeah, this makes sense. So if you're going to make the jump, understand your why. When you understand your why, it doesn't matter what the opportunity is. I don't want you to get nervous or be afraid, and understand your value, family. I go by the name ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, that just simply means it. Until next time.